Will mentioned that Rachel Lane is going to be sharing the message this morning towards the end. And a few words about Rachel. I think, I hope everybody in this room knows who Rachel is, because we've been praying for her for about a year and a half, something like that, with her concussion she suffered in basketball, which most likely brought an end to the career that she had in mind for herself. And so she has gone through a challenging time, but has really made a great turn. And Christine, as she started working with Christine for our youth, and Christine says, what an amazing gift you are to her and to our young people and to our church and also this morning. And I didn't tell Angela she was going to be offering a message, but sometime I guess you broke the news to her. That was good. Last week, a man from Huntersville was on a safari in Kenya. And he witnessed this series of events, which I want to share with you this morning. He saw this lion. Apparently this lion was attempting to affirm his greatness. So he walked down the path and saw a zebra, went up to the zebra and said, "Zebra, who's the king of the jungle?" The zebra said, "You are, O mighty lion." Walked a little bit further up a tree, saw a monkey, said, "Monkey, who is the king of the jungle?" The monkey said, "You are, O mighty lion." Walked a little further and saw a giraffe. He said, "Giraffe, who's the king of the jungle?" Giraffe bowed down and said, "You are, O mighty lion." Walked a little bit further and came to an elephant and said, "Elephant, who's the king of the jungle?" Elephant grabbed him in his trunk, whirled him around, threw him on the ground, and stomped him with his big foot. The lion lay there. He looked up, beaten, bruised, battered. He said, "Look, Buster, just because you didn't know the answer, you didn't have to take it so personally." It really happened, I think. So many of us, so many of the people we know, go through life without an answer to a very personal question. A question that we all want to know the answer to. How is it that we can find joy and excitement and eagerness for each day, no matter what the circumstances of the day may bring? This is Mother's Day. Any pastor who fails to say that is in big trouble. This is Mother's Day, and this is a day in which we honor our mothers most often with a gift. What better gift to give our mothers and all of us today than the answer to that question? So today, our God offers to answer that question as he continues on his series of lighting fires in us this week to light a fire. To move us, to face and live in each day with joy, excitement, and eagerness for the day, no matter what the circumstances of that day may bring. God offers us this Mother's Day gift and a gift to all of us through Psalm 118. Now, Psalm 118 is a very special psalm. We actually know probably only two lines of it, but it's a beautiful psalm. And it was selected by the Israelites to be the last song sung after the Passover meal, because the Passover meal celebrated God freeing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And this psalm reveals why that happened, and that God did that because of his goodness and his love and his power. And this psalm reveals how it is we respond to those gifts of goodness and love. Power. Many scholars believe that this was the song sung by the disciples and Jesus as they left their Passover meal in the upper room as they headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, celebrating God's gifts of goodness and love and power, even as Jesus knew that one day later he would be dead, crucified on a cross. And I have focused on several verses that actually encompass really the entire psalm this morning. And if you will believe and live them, then the promise will come true that your life will be filled with joy, that your life will be filled with excitement and eagerness for each new day, no matter what that day brings. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. The Message version says his love never quits. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me, setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is with me. He is my helper. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. He has become my salvation. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will glorify you. The Lord is my salvation. My salvation. Now the Message version says, oh yes, a free and new life. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. You see, God wants for us for so much to enjoy each day, to be filled with gladness for each day. Enjoy, to be filled with joy, to be filled with satisfaction and well-being. The Lord wants us to be glad. We just skip over that part of it, just be glad and we move on. But that word glad is the most powerful and life-changing word in this entire couplet. The word glad means to be excited, to be eager. This is the day the Lord has been made. Let your life be filled with joy and satisfaction and well-being, excited and eager for the day. This is the day the Lord has made. Is your life like that? Is the life of everyone you know like that, filled with that joy and excitement and eagerness and gladness for the day? If it is, if everybody you know, their life is like that, then you are done. You're done. Go home. But if your life is not like that, if the life of people you know is not like that, and you want it to be, is that God calling us this morning? I think so. All the way from Asheville, probably. Then God wants to light a fire in you this morning. Wants to use you to light a fire in this person you know for joy and gladness in each new day. For our mothers, our fathers, our teenagers, and each one of us. God reveals of us how to begin to be on fire, to enjoy and be glad in each day by seeing and receiving that each day is God's gift. Our psalmist lays out this truth. This is the day the Lord has made. You and I, we did not make this day. God did. Only God can. And he makes this day and he gives it to you. When we woke up this morning, God gave us breath. God gave us life. God gave us a day he had made. We begin each day by seeing his gift like this. He hands us this present of the presence. Each day, God gives us 24 hours, 1,414 minutes, and 86,400 seconds. Now, I'm going to say two sentences that I want ingrained in your mind and in your heart, if they haven't been so far. We must never take a day, an hour, a minute, a second for granted. Each day is a gift of God, but not one day, 1 hour, 1 minute, 1 second is guaranteed. We know this, that each day is a gift of God. But how many of us greet this gift like this? You know anybody like that? There are people who start the day like that, they live the day like that, and they end the day like that. God's gift is treated like that. Instead, what God wants is to greet the day like this and like this. I hope that's you. But you see, what these slides show to us is each day we have a choice. A choice of how to live his gift. It's a choice that I think was described very well by a doctor who was dealing with this patient, who complained constantly about all kinds of things. Yet she had no physical ailments. So one day the doctor said, "Look over there. There's a shelf full of empty bottles. And I can take one of those bottles down and I can fill it with poison enough to kill a human being. Or I can take that bottle instead, I can fill it with medicine strong enough and wonderful enough to cure a deadly disease. The important thing is, I have to make a choice. I can fill it with something that's hurtful or something that is harmful. Then he looked her straight in the eye and said, every day God gives you a gift of a day. And that day is an empty bottle for you. You can fill it with negative, harmful, poisonous thoughts, words, and actions that will harm you and the people in your life. Or you can fill it with what is good. Positive thoughts, words, and actions that will lift you up and will lift up the people in your life. The choice is ours. And every day, you and I, we make that choice. There is a powerful and faithful way to choose to enjoy and be glad in each day. Now, you can read those. Most of you probably have those two lines memorized. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You can read that 1,000 times and your life will not change. You cannot will yourself to enjoy the day. So I'm going to offer to you two ways that God offers us through our psalmist where that actually can become who you are. We begin by knowing that this is the only day, my friends, that you can live. This is it. I want y'all to really soak this one in. You cannot live yesterday again. I know some of you do. You keep dwelling on the past and the stuff that was said and done and thought in the past. And the past, yesterday, has you captured. But you cannot live that day again. It's done. And you cannot live tomorrow, today. And some of you, maybe many of you, suffer from this. You have let your fears and your worries about the future hold you captive. But I got news for you. You cannot live tomorrow, today. Today is the only day that you can live. Instead, I encourage you to begin and live each day by the psalmist's guidance. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. This is the day the Lord has made, that God gives me salvation, oh yes, a free and full life. Now, I want to tell you, I am a joy-filled person. I am. I enjoy and I am glad in every day. I don't see problems, I see opportunities. Because I do it. I begin and throughout each day, I give thanks to God for specific, significant, and seemingly ordinary gifts. I give thanks every day for my sweetie. That's not an ordinary gift, by the way, just in case you were wondering. I give thanks for her holding my hand. And if you want to hold a hand next to somebody, just do it. It's okay. I know it's a Presbyterian church, but you can stop this body language over here. And I see the Philip. Just hold her hand. Come on. Here, you can do it. How, boy? Now we're talking. Now we're in the movie theater. We're doing great. That's good. Hold her hand quick. Got it? That's good. And you know, I love her sweet kisses. I do. I love our home, the food God gives us, the sun, our friends, the rain, our health, the doctors who help us when our health is not good, the flowers, and my friends, every day except Monday, I give thanks for you. What a gift you are to me. Every one of you is different. Oh, yeah, boy. You're all different. You didn't know that. You're all different. But each one of you is unique. I have a place in my heart for everybody out here, and I could go right through this whole family today and name the gift. What a gift you are to me. And over 8 years ago, you gave me an amazing gift that I give thanks for every day, even Monday, that I get to be your pastor. Wow, what a gift. So what I urge you to do is to discover what Ann Voskamp discovered. You'll know about her. Y'all remember that. I've laid her life out in detail for you. But in sum, her six homeschooled children were driving her crazy. Not surprising. But her former husband was becoming boring. And they were struggling to make ends meet to even pay their bills. Her nephew that she loved like a son had just died of a rare blood disease. Her days were one unsatisfying chore, just work, day after day. Anne was spiraling down into the dark hole of depression. But one day her life was changed by the interaction that she read about of Jesus with a grateful leper. And this verse, this psalmist, spoke to her because it begins with these words, "Give thanks to the Lord." And only after the thanks come, does the psalmist say, "Yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." She realized that joy and excitement for life open up when we open up our lives to the amazing gifts that God gives us each day that we just take for granted, right? And so she began a list of 1,000 blessings to give thanks for before I die. Jam on toast. A child's laughter. Bare feet coming into the kitchen. That big oak tree. And her life began to change. She began to be filled with joy and excitement about the day. And so her husband decided to do it. And one day she wrote, "His hand holding mine. A kiss long held." Anne explains the power of choosing to thank God for his daily gifts. Anne says, "My hands were clenched with complaints and disappointment and discouragement and worry and anxiety and stress and fear about the future. And when my hands are clenched with these things, there's no air for the good things to come in. My fingers pointed at me. No wonder God could not give me the joy that I yearned for. But when I opened my hands, my fingers were pointing to God. My hands, my life was open to receive what he wanted to give me. When I began to give thanks, he gave me joy and excitement, a life full and overflowing with blessings I never could have imagined." I encourage you to trust the psalmist. I encourage you to trust me on this one. Trust me on this. Spend time every day giving thanks to God for the gifts of that day. Make an actual list. Sometimes we put it in writing. It's stronger. And be specific. Don't just say, "Thank you for Sally." Say, "What do you think about Sally? You know that she has made my lunch almost every day for 46 years. You do that math, it is staggering. But bologna, ham, turkey, I mean, we got to find another one here somewhere. I mean, what a gift that is. That's service. That's love. So be specific and share it with your family. Perhaps I wish this for you to say to every person in your family, one by one, looking them in the eye, "I am thankful that you are in my life for your smile, your tears, touch of your hand. You are a gift of God for me." How joy-filling it would be like this. I couldn't resist giving you that one. Every day, do that. The truth is, God wants the joy to be a family affair. Did you catch that pronoun? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, this is how God wants your family to begin each day, like that. Together, sharing what you're thankful for the day with each other. And the promise of God is this: a free and full life filled with joy and excitement and eagerness for every day, not just for you, not just for your sweet spouse, but for your whole family. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's what God wants for us. Don't let that go in one ear and out the other today. And we see and receive each day as a gift of God, giving thanks for the gifts of the day. Our psalmist moves us deeper, moving us to be on fire, to enjoy and be glad in each day by giving glory to God. God speaks this guidance through the psalmist, "You are my God, and I will give you thanks." Yeah. And what comes next? "You are my God, and I will glorify you." To glorify God means to honor God. To honor God, not just showing up here and praying and singing and worshiping God on a Sunday. No, to honor God means to submit our lives to Him. That's how we honor God. We honor our spouse by being faithful and loving and serving them. We honor God by serving Him in the way He wants to be served. And Jesus says, here's what it looks like. You want to honor God? Then love one another the way He loves us. Serve and save one another the way He serves and saves us. Then we will enjoy and be glad, excited and eager for each day. This is Jesus' promise. Jesus says, if you'll do this, love like this, then my joy will be in you and my joy will be complete and your life will bear much fruit. This is this great insight of Carl Menninger, whom Elaine, I'm sure, knows about. He's older. He was a world-respected psychiatrist, and one day he was giving a lecture to a big group, and somebody asked a question, said, Dr. Menninger, suppose a person's about to spiral down into a deep mental crisis. What would you recommend? Expecting them to say, well, you just go to your local psychiatrist. Instead, what Dr. Menninger says, I would tell them to get up, get out of their house, cross the railroad tracks, and find somebody who needs lifting up and help lift them up. This is the inside of this picture that says, if you want to lift yourself up, lift someone else up. Go and honor God, my friends, by serving and saving like this. There is somebody in your life that needs this. There are people I'm looking out here right now who need this. Let you honor God like this. Not just lifting them up. Be walking with them to the top of the mount. The new place in their life. This is the enjoyment and excitement for each day discovered by one of my lawyer friends. I was in a small group with him for a long time. His life and his marriage was in a rut. Joyless. Spiraling down, despite making lots of money. Can you imagine that? You make a lot of money, and your life is a mess. So someone gave him the book that many of you read, The Prayer of Jabez, which challenges him to pray this prayer at the beginning of each day. Lord, bless me by expanding my territory. Put someone in my path to serve and to love. So being a lawyer and being anal retentive, basically, you know, how lawyers are. You got it 90 days, I'm going to do it for 90 days. Yes, sir, I am. And lawyers are very disciplined. He did it. And then my friend told our group, miraculously, he said, the Lord did put someone in my life to serve and to love almost every day. Random people I did not even know and people I knew really well. What he testified to do, and what I want you to see is that he was a changed man. He was no longer self-centered and self-obsessed. Instead, he became other-centered and outward-focused. His face was transformed from his perpetual frown to smiles. I've never seen this man smile before. Never. Every day, he said, I wake up, I pray. And I am excited for where God's going to lead me. Each day I give thanks for this gift of honoring God and the joy I receive. Not just for me, he said, but for my wife, our son, and those other people in my life for whom I was joyless. It was actually worse than that. This is the heart of my joy and excitement for each day. As I said, I don't see problems. I see opportunities. Because I begin and live each day, as Sally can attest, with joy and excitement. Sometimes she said, "Can't you just be less excited?" I called her about a year ago from a session meeting. She said, "How was it?" I said, "It was fantastic." She said, "Can't you have a session meeting that's not fantastic?" No. For God wants to lead me to serve and to save and to lift up and to love. And boy, what a great honor that is. I just want that for you. Think about how exciting it is if every day you woke up knowing that God was going to use you to lift up somebody's life, to serve them and save them and lift them up and love them. Wow! Can you imagine starting every day like that? Well, that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for us. And when we do, if you need an incentive for yourself, then the result will be joy and excitement and eagerness for the day. Now, in truth, there will be days when it seems impossible to enjoy and be glad. Right? That's when we need to let God move us to be on fire, to enjoy and be glad each day by trusting that God is good and that He will work for good. We don't know what storm the psalmist went through, but he discovered how good God is. He put it this way: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord, and He answered me. He set me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my helper, my strength, and my salvation." Because God is good, because His love never quits, we can enjoy and be glad even in the storm. And as Christians, what you and I know, that the psalmist did not know, is in the midst of the storms and in the depths of our lives, Jesus is in the midst and He will get us through the storm. Now, I have had many experiences like this. I've seen it. But as I prayed about this message, as I was running, that's what I do. The Lord speaks to me when I'm running. And so as I prayed about this message a couple of weeks ago, Jesus spoke a person into my heart. That person is Rachel. Name. And Rachel and I had a conversation, and she immediately agreed to share part of her story. Maybe a little bit about the storm she's been in, storm her mother's in some ways. And how it is in the midst of the storm, she has come to live our scripture, to cherish and to find joy and to be glad in each gift of a day. Rachel.
As many of you know, I was recruited to play college basketball at Emory and Henry in Virginia. And last July, as I was training and getting ready for my sophomore season, I collided with another player and received my 6th concussion. It was not until about early October when my doctor told me that I would never play contact sports ever again. And at that point in time, my life, my love, I had lost. Basketball wasn't just a game to me. It was my identity. It was my passion. It's what I wanted to do. It was what I loved. It was how I coped with things. And I no longer had it. And at the same time as I was losing basketball, I had to battle the aftermath of having a concussion. I had post-concussive syndrome. I don't know how many of you have had a concussion, but it's like having a migraine all day, every day. And that's very, very frustrating. And after a while, it begins to take a toll on you. By the end of October, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember thinking to myself, that's my mom. She's supposed to be there, see me graduate college. She's supposed to be at my wedding. She's supposed to be the best grandmother to my grandkids. She can't have cancer. And I began to question God and what he was doing. And at the same time, I had no way of coping because I had just had my only coping mechanism taken from me, which was sports and athletics. And around December, I was just so low and sad, and I didn't know what my purpose was. Why am I here? You know, I thought I was there to play basketball. That's what I was here to do, and I no longer had that. And I decided that if this was what life was like living, I didn't want to live it anymore. And I tried to take my life. After this, I came home from school, didn't finish out the semester. I was home maybe a week. My grandma passed away. And I remember saying to my mom, Mom, I don't understand. He's taking everything I love away from me. Here I was, the past couple of times we had gone to see my grandma, I didn't go because I had basketball. And here I am, I now had neither. And she looked at me and she told me, Rachel, God is trying to tell you something. He is trying to get your attention and you need to listen. And at the time, I was so angry and frustrated and upset and hurt that I didn't really care to listen. I didn't care what he had to say. And as I was preparing to go back to school second semester, my mom voiced concerns of me returning. And I made a promise to her. And I told her that as long as she kept fighting, so would I. As I returned to school, it was hard because I had to face every single day what I had lost. I had to see my teammates walking to class and know that I was never going to play with them again. I had to see my coach every day and know that I was never going to play for her again. And I'm an athletic training major, so I still had to work basketball practices, and that was hard. And I began coping with this pain and this anger in a very, very negative and destructive way. I got very into alcohol and drugs, and I had a lot of problems with pills. It got so bad that one of my professors pulled me aside one day after class and looked at me and told me she knew what I was doing and she knew that I was hurting, but this wasn't the right way to deal with it. And eventually, I hit what I consider to call rock bottom. And when I did, Pastor Fred called me, and I remember him saying to me on the phone, Rachel, what do you think God's trying to tell you by this? Like, what do you think the purpose of this is? And I remember being on the other end of the phone so frustrated and thinking to myself, well, if I knew, I wouldn't be here. And he just continued to tell me the same thing that my mom had told me, and that was, he's trying to get your attention. He's trying to tell you something. And after that, it was like I felt like I had my life ripped right from out from under my feet. Everything I had known was gone. I no longer had school. I no longer had basketball. I was back home. I wasn't a college kid anymore. But what I began to realize was that he took away the life that I had envisioned, the dream that I had had, and instead he replaced it with the life he had envisioned for me and the life he wanted me to live, and that was a life for him. Doing his work, which is more fulfilling than anything I could have ever asked for. And it was after that, it was in those low times where before I would reach for some alcohol or I'd reach for some pills. Instead of doing that, I said, you know what, let me just pray. Let me ask for the strength and the peace that I need. And he gave it to me. And now, no, I don't play basketball anymore. I'm not up at school. I'm back home, but I feel 100% like this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is where he wanted me to be. And the peace that I have every day is absolutely incredible, and it's like nothing I could ever explain. And that just shows how powerful he really is and how much he can really change you. And there are two things I want you to be able to take from my story. And the first one is that sometimes God doesn't always call us to lead the easiest life. Sometimes he wants us to go through the storm, but that storm is there for a reason, and we have to trust that. And we have to trust that He has a plan, and that His plan for our life is better than what we think our plan is. The next thing I want you to take from this is that we are blessed abundantly. Some of these little things that I used to take for granted, like just having a mom, you know, being able to go to school, being able to play basketball, are all blessings. And I have seen how quickly He can take those away from you. And we really, sometimes as people, we take for granted some of those little blessings, like having food on our table, having a wonderful church to go to, just everything. But really, those are incredible things that He has blessed us with and that we need to be thankful for. So on this Mother's Day, I urge you to not only be thankful for your mothers, but be thankful for everything else. I have experienced what it's like to feel like I'm going to lose my mom. And as much as we can't stand them sometimes, and as much as they aggravate us and nag us, they do it for a reason, and they love us. And one day will come when they're no longer here, and you wish they would be there to nag you and tell you to clean your room and everything. But just really, really appreciate all the many things He has blessed you with, because He didn't have to give them to you. They are blessings. They are a gift from God. No matter how little, how big, they are all blessings. And we need to be thankful for them. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank You today for this church and this wonderful group of people and being able to come and speak to them this morning. Thank You for all the lovely mothers we have and everything they do for us. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to trust in You, Lord, and trust in Your plan and be thankful for everything You have given us. Lord, I pray that this message may have touch some people's hearts in this church today. In Your holy, precious name I pray. Amen.